everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and welcome to Points on the Board. I am what you call a conservative Latino, and tonight we will be talking boxing scandals to Supreme Court showdowns. We are breaking down the stories, shaking up sports and beyond. We'll dive deeper than a grand slam in the ninth and hit harder than a linebacker on fourth down. From Chavez Jr.'s deportation drama to California's Title IX rebellion, we've got the plays that matter. So lace up those sneakers as this episode's a full court press. And yes, people, I do work on the intro. However, before we tip off, don't forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. And as you're watching this, don't forget to hit that thumbs up button and like and share the video once we are done. So let's get down to it. Our first story of the night is Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.'s fall from ring to deportation drama. Okay, so for those of you not aware, and I saw this story maybe a week ago or a few days ago, but I didn't realize this was the guy who had fought Jake Paul late last month, and the hoopla surrounding that. I view Jake Paul and Logan Paul as marketing genius. Look, I'm in my 50s, but these two guys, they're brilliant. They were smart enough to capture the magic that happened with their YouTube videos and parlay that into an empire. And that keeps going today as they attempt to become legit boxers. And I just had no clue that Cesar Chavez Jr. was Jake Paul's opponent last month. However, for those of you who may have picked up on it, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is the son of boxing icon, boxing legend, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., and once a WBC middleweight champion from 2011 to 2012 with a 53-6-1 record. He now faces a dramatic downfall after his July 2nd, 2025 ICE arrest. So it was just a few days ago, actually. That was in Studio City in California. It's part of L.A. There, I mean, you just like New York City or any larger areas, it's called New York City, L.A., Boston. And then you have various cities within there, suburbs and things of that nature. And Studio City is one of those. And he was arrested for alleged Sinaloa cartel ties. Then there's also a Mexican warrant for trafficking firearms and explosives. This is a bad dude, my friends, a bad dude. Or just a dumbass who got caught up with the wrong people. Combination of they admired him, he thought their life was cool, ended up being, I guess, mixing like oil and water for Chavez Jr. But all of this happened following a lackluster loss to Jake Paul on June 28th. So about a week ago. Now, the Jake Paul fight, for those of you who aren't aware, it was a sanctioned June 28th cruiserweight bout. And that was in Anaheim. That's south of L.A. It's kind of right before you enter the L.A. area where Disneyland is at. The Angels are at where the Los Angeles Rams, I believe, used to play at. I think they used to play there. Maybe I'm wrong. Regardless, it was a sanctioned fight, generated $1.5 million in revenue under the California State Athletic Commission, and it saw Paul dominate with a unanimous decision, 99-91, 97-93, 98-92. That is a damn dominating performance. So Paul clearly exposed Chavez Jr.'s decline. Clearly he's not the boxer he once was. And that's because of substance abuse and just not the boxer he once was. So his arrest did nothing to help Jake Paul, as many deemed the Paul brothers as a joke. But in their defense, there are a lot of professional boxers who claim to be angry, but they're really jealous. They're jealous with envy because it's Paul and Jake Logan raking in the cash. I mean, look at that pay-per-view of Netflix a few months ago with Jake Paul. I think it was Jake Paul. Yeah. I confuse the two. I don't really follow them. I admire them from afar. I'll read up on them when they're in the news, but I don't follow their careers. Even though as my business here grows, I will be looking at their marketing and how they've managed to take advantage of certain scenarios. I always know this about people. It's a life lesson for you. Age doesn't matter. Experience matters. They were on YouTube using it properly, et cetera, well before I took advantage of it. When I sold my previous company, I was a cutting edge then. But YouTube, the internet, all that was starting out. And we were getting into that. But then I sold and I didn't lose control as much as that was passed on to the new ownership and they handled it. And I no longer did. And I didn't have enough interest to follow it. So I will be checking out. And to do this, a bit of business advice here. I am seeing this entrepreneurial. I try new stuff. I experiment. I'm always pushing the envelope. But I rarely ever do that out of the blue. I'll have an idea and I'll search it out to see who has done it. How can I tweak it to make it work for me, et cetera, et cetera. So don't be afraid to experiment, but don't reinvent the wheel. And by that, I mean, just go out and look at how others have done it. Tweak it. If it works, tweak it to where it works for you. And sometimes it won't work. And those are lessons learned. And the problem with history, I said that it repeats itself, is because people don't learn from it. In business, you're better or you won't be in business for long. Regardless, moving on. So most of the boxing world does believe that the Jake and Paul Logan, the Logan brothers, are kind of frauds, subpar boxers, that they're embarrassing the name of boxing while cashing in on it. I got news for you. Once MMA came out, boxing was done. It was a corrupt sport, and it probably in many ways is still corrupt. From its day of inception, everybody knew it in certain ways. To me, the premier corrupt professional sport is now the NBA. Yeah, that's right. I don't believe that was a legit 1.8% chance of getting the first overall pick that the Mavericks got. And I don't know why the hell they wouldn't shop Luka Doncic to the whole NBA and get squat back for him, except for the fact that they were promised you'll get the first pick overall, which means you get Cooper Flagg. That's what I believe. I'm sorry. I mean, come on. Tim Donaghy, you can't tell me he's not corrupt. Look him up if you don't know what I'm talking about. But I digress again. Let's get back to this. So the arrest. So DHS claims Chavez Jr. overstayed a 2023 legal entry. And they rejected his 2024 green card application for fraud despite marriage to a U.S. citizen. On the surface, that doesn't sound good, but you got to look at a nuance. The ties of the cartel, the firearms, you know. So all those things come into play. And I'll be the first one to tell you people, it's a privilege to be in this country. I shipped off my cousin. God bless him, and I love him to death. See, he broke the law, got busted, went through a lawyer, et cetera, et cetera. Bruh, your cousin's guilty. I did the best I could for him, and we ended up having to send him back to his home country. I'm not going to tell you which. I'm from two countries, I guess you could say. Three, you count them U.S., but I am American first and foremost. But he was a cousin, and he'll never step foot in this country again, and that breaks my heart. Because I think I'd love to have him come visit, etc. But you break the rules, you get shipped back. That's how life works. And yes, I voted for this. You know, so now he's in an expedited removal proceeding as of July 7th, as of today, amid a 15% rise in deportations, meaning the Trump administration is keeping its promise and ramping up these deportations. And even then, it's still too slow. It would take us about 30 years to deport the 30 million that they think are here. I think it's 50 million, but just 30 million alone. So even though it's expedited, it's still going slow as molasses. But his lawyer deems this a political move. It's not a political move. The bottom line is that Chavez got caught up in these ICE raids, ICE things that were never happening before that should have been happening daily every year since the inception of our borders and people illegally crossing. So I don't view it as anything malicious or anything political. It's ICE doing its job. And he got caught. You know, maybe don't have warrants. Don't be working with the cartel. You know, don't be breaking the law in your country and it affects you here. It's that simple. Stay clean. It's a privilege to be in this country. Sorry. That's how I feel. And yes, 100% of illegals have broken the law. The moment they step over illegally, they've broken the law. So the Jake Paul aftermath. Just for those wondering about Jake Paul and how this all affects him. So Jake Paul's 12-1, potential WBC ranking on the horizon. That will enhance his pay-per-view appeal. But there's pressure on him to face ranked contenders to counter the "he's a bum" label and legitimize his wins to kind of prop him up right now. That's part of that's again just envy and jealousy because the promoters don't care, the fans don't care, and that's what drives the sport of boxing now. It's not how good a boxer you are, it's how charismatic you are, how well you play off of social media. It's taking what Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray, Ray Boom Boom Mancini. It's taking what those guys could do in front of a camera, and it's exponentially enhanced because of social media. The Pauls are doing that better than anybody in boxing today, period. All right. So Chavez Jr.'s career was once promising, 34 KOs, but his legal troubles and worse, his addiction has derailed it. Obviously it has culminated with this ICE arrest. Then you have the cartel allegations, the Mexican warrant, and that's really diminishing his father's legacy as long as he's around. Once he's gone out of mind, out of sight, he'll be forgotten. But that's sad. But his father, is a legend. He hasn't disowned his son, don't get me wrong. But he did show visible frustration during the fight with Jake Paul. He threw his hands up in the air, urged his son to engage more actively as Paul dominated him. So following the arrest, Cesar finally came out and spoke out. He told Outkick.com, actually, great site, check it out, that he believes the allegations of cartel ties are unjust and a misunderstanding. And it could be that he just knows some people there. He's famous. So who knows? But he expressed his hope that his son's legal team will be able to clear his name, will be able to get him out of this. And then he is still framing this as a private family matter. Now, his past is showing against Paul, this arrest, how bad he looked. His career is likely over, while Paul's is still rising, whether people want to admit it or not. So we'll see how all this breaks down. But the big story here is that Paul's opponent, Chavez Jr., was arrested. So you get politics, sports, boxing, the fix, a legend. You get it all with that story. So let's move on. Let us move on. The California AG rules daily fantasy sports are gambling, thus illegal in the state. I did a whole podcast on this last week, and this is my domain. I was in this industry. In full transparency, I was there from the beginning to when DFS started to come in and I sold my company. I still attended these events for a little while. Then I realized, I'm just wasting my money. I have nothing going. I was thinking of starting a DFS company. I had partnered up with another, he's not a big name, outside the industry, but within the industry, he was well known because he worked with one of the bigger companies. And I think it was right around the third round of DraftKings when they got 30 million, I think. I said, I'm out. I was thinking 3 to 4 million to get it up and going from there to grow it. But I just 30 million, I'm like, that's out of my, domain. And, but I, maybe I should have. And for the future, Grumley's Media is going to go into fantasy, is going to go to DFS, that we're going to market and leverage the dailyfantasy.com, URL. And I'm going to get back in the game. My partner and I, we're going to get back into it. So that is down the road for us. So stick around for that. But right now, the California AG has ruled that daily fantasy is illegal. And what I was trying to say is I remember some of those trade seminars. You can't use certain words. Don't say it this way. Just don't respond this way. We can't let Pandora out of the box, meaning you can't use betting terms to describe DFS. Then they'll know it's gambling. Once we can get this legal under the carve out, then nobody cares. I was there. I heard Paul Charchian, the former executive director of the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, now the Fantasy Sports Gaming Association. I heard him say these things. I remember we were in the taxi cab driving to the Dallas Mavericks game. And he got pissed because I said, it's gambling. He said, no, it's not. No, it's not. I'm like, it is. The moment you have to put money down before you even play, that's a hallmark of gambling. The parlays, the plays. What's not gambling, what's a game of skill is when it's a season long. And we all know it. It's clear as day gambling. I don't think it would be hard to prove in court. It's not my job, my gig. But if I'm forced to go under oath, that's what I'm going to say. and as a pioneer who helped commercialize it with one of the biggest fantasy sports companies in the industry before selling, I know what the bleep I'm talking about. So, some of the key points here. California, again, Attorney General Rob Bonta, who I am not a friend of as a conservative, he ruled July 3rd, the day before July 4th of July, that DFS is illegal in the state, classifying them as gambling under existing law. And what people don't realize is there's gambling in California all over, but only on the reservations. Only on their reservations. DFS has escaped scrutiny because they fall under that carve-out, which I believe they illegally usurped to be able to make gambling legal. So this is my take. It's my personal opinion. But that said, I was here from the beginning. I had one of the top companies. Again, I know what the bleep I'm talking about. Now, for those of you who may not be aware, gambling is technically illegal outside card games, few poker rooms, this or that. It's only legal on the reservations. And that's why this is being pushed. The reservations, the tribes are pushing this hard on Bonta. Look, I've worked with a lot of good people at Barona Casino in a previous life, and I've met a few of the decision makers here because I live at, where I live at, there's like five different casinos, maybe three to five. I can't remember. I don't gamble within spitting distance of where I live in the rural area, which is right by these reservations. And they're not – they go on the war path, pun intended, when it comes to all things gaming because they want to control it. They believe it's their God-given right to have a monopoly on gaming. And they're going to lose that eventually. Maybe 5-10 years from now, there's going to be a case that's going to blow it wide open, just as SCOTUS blew it wide open when it came to gambling here across the nation. But this is going to impact what is a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's going to prompt and has already prompted immediate backlash from operators and fans. Yeah, I don't think they want me as a pioneer in the industry sitting on the stand telling the stories. And I would tell them, you put everybody who was on the board from that era on that stand. And then you check all their advertising money and revenue. Check out their income tax from there. Because I'm pretty sure, I'm speculating, but I bet you're going to find some mid-tier companies who got over-the-top contracts from FanDuel or DraftKings, or there were about four or five others around with a lot of investment money in the day, where it won't match up right. Wow, you got to pay a lot here by DraftKings or FanDuel. And I'm just tossing names out of some of the companies from back then. I don't know who they had deals with, but I wager it would be the case where, wow, this is normally going for $30,000 for this 3-month period based on this CPM cost or this cost, and they gave you $100,000. Why is that? I bet you'll find that across the board with key players who sat on the board, specifically who sat on the board. They needed the industry itself to go along with this, and it's no different than regular gambling. You have your sharks and you have your minnows, I guess. I don't know. I know they're called sharks. The few. I tried DFS and I got it, but then I realized, like, oh my God, the amount of studying you have to do in such a short span from day to day versus a season league is incredible. And that's when I realized why you have sharks. You have people with these spreadsheets. Bill Walters, a professional gambler out of Vegas. I actually have a friend who works for him. In fact, he put a book out a couple years ago, and I keep meaning to talk to him about getting an interview with him. I just remembered I will follow up on that. But my understanding, this guy had computers everywhere. You know, a lot of this is probably much easier now with AI. But a lot of this is driven with spreadsheet analysis at the time. But you as the bettor still had to know who to pick, who to ask. Because no matter what an algorithm says, it doesn't understand some nuances, and that's where the better comes in. But you have your sharks and you have your losers, most people being losers, and the gambling addiction is real. You had none of that with fantasy sports in the traditional sense. But regardless, the decision released by the California Department of Justice targets draft and pick'em style DFS contests, which I would agree with, the pick'em at least. I don't gamble, so I don't know how the draft DFS contests are played, but the pick'em I do know, you know, and I assume the pick'em is when you have to pick X amount of players. Instead of teams, they do players. You know, so this aligns with states like New York and Texas that have restricted such activities. However, Gavin Newsom opposes this. Why? Because tech owns him. But gaming here in California owns a lot of politicians. You know, and Gavin wants to be president. And gambling brings in, from my understanding, my research, about $100 million in tax revenue. So that's not chump change, especially when you're tens of billions over your budget. And then you've got nearly a $2 trillion unfunded pension debt. So that $100 million may not sound like much, but it's a lot. So obviously this threatens companies like DraftKings and FanDuel, and they argue DFS is a game of skill. And on the stand, I would say, no, they're lying. I would just flat out say it. They're not being truthful. They can say whatever the hell they want. But when you sit there and break it down, analyze it, it's pretty much just like gambling. Well, what's different? Well, if you're playing a year-long traditional fantasy league, no, that's not gambling. I will spend $100 to win $10 just to go, I'm the smartest guy in the room with my friends, you know? That's, in a nutshell, how the traditional works, you know? And money's always a big thing, you know? So this is potentially going to force some layoffs, though, and a market exit for some companies. It's going to, you know, and nationally, it raises $1.1 billion. So, okay, it's going to raise $1 billion. You know, instead of $1.1 billion in tax revenue by losing California. So it's not a big hit nationally. But for California, it's not a big, big hit neither, but it's a big enough hit to matter. You know, so the controversy sparks debate over economic impact versus regulatory control. To me, regulatory control will always win that battle, or should always win that battle, because you let the free market loose and it will overcome any economic impact. My take, if gambling is legal, open it up throughout the state, you don't have this problem. But they don't want to open it up and make it legal because the tribal casinos want to control it, and they own a lot of politicians. Like, these are just facts, I'm telling you. You know, people say, you're going to piss off the tribal. You're going to piss off DFS people. I'm just telling you how the world works. So Bonds' opinion issued in response to Assembly member Tom Lackey. If I'm correct, Tom Lackey's a Republican. He had a request. It cites state gambling statutes, marking a shift from a decade of unregulated DFS operation. What happened, people, is it fell into a gray area. Fantasy sports, the traditional, fell into that gray area too. And it was like, okay, no harm, no foul. But it's gone to the next level here. So DFS operators and Newsom's office are highlighting again the $2.6 billion annual economic contribution. $2.6 billion, it brings $100 billion, they're saying nearly $3 billion annual economic contribution. Maybe the money being bet itself, yeah, that goes to the tribes. So that doesn't really go out throughout the state of California directly, indirectly by the wages they pay the people who don't live on the reservations. But I'll tell you this, they hire a lot of whites, a lot of black, a lot of brown Latinos. But the heart and soul is the reservations are maxed out of the staff of the locals there who aren't drugged out and alcoholics. That's still a major problem, sadly, that money has not solved. So the governor favors stakeholder collaboration over an outright ban. This is going to go down in terms of what they can negotiate with the tribal casinos, and the tribal casinos want to outright own it. They're not going to be able to do that. Another problem will come up, and like I said, eventually all this is going to hit the Supreme Court. In terms of the tribes wanting a monopoly here in California, eventually the Supreme Court's going to go, you can't have a monopoly. You know, so that may not be for another 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but that will eventually happen. Because I keep telling the tribes, they need to diversify, and some are. And my example is the behemoth corporations of tobacco corporations, how they began to consolidate companies, diversify, and get away from tobacco because they knew that was dying. So the ruling does coincide with the national trend, including new federal bill limiting gambling loss deductions to 90%. And that's projected to generate $1.1 billion over 8 years. And that's pressuring California to reconsider its stance amid these industry threats. In essence, this earns a lot of money. Y'all need to think about this and figure something out. That's what all that blah, 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 or yada, yada, yada I just said means. So now proponents of the ban point to rising gambling addiction, and that is my concern. It's up 12% in California since 2020. And now opponents, including the Fantasy Sports Gaming Association, I have in my notes, I wrote down Fantasy Sports Trade Association, but they stress DFS's skill-based nature and job losses if enforced. Again, I was there since the beginning. I left after, I don't know, 5 years of DFS being part of the game, and it's gambling. All right, let's move on. UPenn's Title IX recent. Great news here, my friends. Great news. Leah Thomas awards are stripped. So the University of Pennsylvania, under a 2025 Title IX resolution with the U.S. Department of Education, revoked all awards, wins, and records of transgender swimmer Leah Thomas, FKA Will Thomas, who I don't think has undergone surgery. So he will always be a he and will be Will Thomas. So this reverses his 2022 NCAA victories, and that's a good thing. He should never have been allowed to play. He was a man. I mean, he was walking to the locker room. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. You know how gross it was. They had a shot of him with it. It's like when the I can't even see that. Him literally with the one piece with a thong going up. You see in his cheeks. It's just like, I won't show you. I'll spare you. So the decision was announced last week, and it aligns with biology-based eligibility rules. And God bless Riley Gaiser. Others, hey, I've been talking about this for 2 years, but I'm a nobody. But she made it national. She had the help of Outkick. She's become a star in her own right. And she should be a star because she's defending women's rights. Navratilova has talked about this a lot. J.K. Rowling is not directly with sports, but has talked about it. Martina just blows my mind. She is. I remember going to church one day, and you know they always ask for money, and the guy comes out. I am a financial midget, but Martina's a political midget. She's too ignorant. She's just stupid at this point to understand what party actually aligns with her beliefs. It's not the Democrat, because she gets angry at Democrats. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why is it always Republicans? Because we believe in that, Martina. We may not believe, or many conservatives may not believe in gay per the Bible, but they understand the Constitution. And they will acknowledge, work, and love a gay person. They just don't believe in that style of life. Whereas Democrats just want to use you, and they keep pushing the bar. And you're either going to bend the knee, or they're going to destroy you. So you're in a battle that you're going to lose. So you need to come on over to our side and stop being stupid. So Gaines, as I said, she decided not to bend the knee, and she fought back. And that's why we are where we are at today. And that's good. Now, this also reflects the Trump administration's push to protect women's athletes, and it's created a ripple effect to the point of where we are at today. Now, obviously, this heightens what you would call state, federal tensions, and it is setting a precedent for other institutions who are facing Title IX enforcement, but some are fighting back. So this decision mandates record revisions, correcting, apologies, and I think they've done a cheesy apology. I think Linda McMahon's going to go, no, 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 as she body slams him to send out legit apologies. Riley Gaines had a tie with Will Thomas, and they allowed her to stand or hold the trophy, and she was off to the side. That goes away. But here's the problem. Any woman who won and should have gotten first place or on the stand, that was denied them. They'll never get that moment back. I'd love to see a big White House gathering. And I'm okay with my taxpayer dollars flying all these people out. And you have 10 million stands there, and the president and dignitaries re-giving them their won awards. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. And obviously Trump's influence is evident in all this. Now, this transgender nonsense got a lot of support from a lot of supposedly legit organizations, you know, and they're now on the back end because the public is rising against them. And that's good. So this is a good one for everybody. But the battle's still in its throes of, I don't want to say starting, but we're in the heat of battle. California's Title IX standoff. They're being defiant, and it's a political battle. You know, California's rejection of a federal Title IX resolution that was announced today, or yesterday, is going to pit the state's Department of Education and Interscholastic Federation against U.S. mandates exclude transgender athletes from women's sports. And, of course, California being as blue as they are, being the liars they are, how dare they just take this away from us unexpectedly. Blah, blah. They've been telling you for months, you got to get in line and get transgender women out. So this, I didn't see a couple, you stupid lying sacks. So, and then they're saying, well, the scientific evidence is split with all this. That's a lie. I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, Newsom's prior resistance to federal overreach isn't just, this is part of a bigger battle with Newsom. You know, just a week or two, a couple weeks ago, he had the National Guard dispute that he lost. The wildfire, he's begging for a handout of over $40 billion that they don't have to pay back because they mismanaged the forest. They didn't thin. They didn't do control burns. They didn't have enough infrastructure within the city of working services to fight fires. So they screwed up and they want the federal government to bail them out without having to pay it back. So this battle really goes back a ways with Newsom and Trump. You know, in fact, the irony in all this is Newsom agreed with conservatives and said this was an issue of fairness when he had Charlie Kirk on his podcast. Why he wants to be president, wants to be seen as moderate. But at the end of the day, he is what he is. He's a duck with a C. So this obviously raises stake over the federal funding of sports equity. So what happened is today, the letters from the state education leaders were was sent with a firm rejection. And the money's going to stop. You're going to get a court. They judge shop here, judicial activism. And there's going to have a judge that's going to say, no, you got to keep the money flowing. And that is going to end up in the Supreme Court again. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But the study, they say, focuses on muscle mass retention, contrast with the 2023 Canadian finding of inconclusive data. And that's a big lie. All you have to do is watch the film, look at the data. And what do I mean by looking at the data? Look at all the wins. How clearly these less than average, subpar men in men's sports, how they come in and dominate. Leah Thomas ranked like 450-something or 420-something. Terrible, terrible. And then she comes in ranked number one. It's happened now throughout high school sports. Mediocre kids, when they did the sport the year before for the boys, are dominating sports. So you can see it. Doesn't. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't need studies to see the obvious. It's like looking at a shark and stating, we must do a study to determine that is Jaws. Please. Yeah. And then look at, then there's this other thing. And I see, the reason I know this is I've studied this. And there's a big study done in the UK. And I did a podcast about this. So I'm a Fired Up podcast, which talks about national issues in the transgender. I've talked about that multiple times. There was a study that came out of the UK that reviewed all the other studies and said, all these other studies are flawed. It's just people writing crap down with no data to back it up. That was pretty much the gist of it, and I'm not exaggerating. And that's the studies California's going to cite. They're going to be destroyed, severely flawed. And the report they're citing is probably going to fall under that as well. So the fact that UPenn just did away with Leah Thomas's records and they fell in the line along with others is going to add fuel to the fire because they may have bent the knee, but there's data and they're going to be caught upon, hey, well, what was the final decision? And they're not going to say, well, we wanted the money. They're going to give other reasons that fall in line with what the government's going to use, data. So for now, billions are being jeopardized by California's Democrat Party just because of ego, and they want to win. They don't want to protect girls. You parents who are Democrats with daughters, if you're okay with a man undressing, schlonging around with your daughter, heaven forbid he's 17 and your daughter's 14, 13, because that has happened, then I guess what can I say? That's on you. Bad parent. All right. Now, I mentioned the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has decided or will decide the legality of state bans on trans athletes in girls' sports. So it's a little different, but they're going to set precedent. The Supreme Court agreed last week to review the legality of state bans on transgender athletes in girls' sports. following cases from Idaho and West Virginia. So this is obviously escalating the national debate post the UPenn Leah Thomas's ruling and California's resistance. What can I say? It's all coming to a head. The case is going to pit states and autonomy against federal equality mandates. And I don't know how this is going to go. Because on the surface, well, William, what they're saying is states have a right. You know? And the court, they're fighting against people saying, no, it's confusing. So we're going to have to see how this plays out. But the point is transgenderism is finally being beaten down. And with a conservative Supreme Court, that's good for us. Now, California rejected it. Oklahoma complied. So you got back and forth. So I'm curious to see how the legal minds, and I may have to bring this up as a topic. I'm going to have a constitutional lawyer, a Rhodes Scholar, and I'm looking to bring another lawyer on to fire it up. And we're going to live stream that on Friday. So stay tuned for that. Keep an eye out for that. Again, grumblingsmedia.com. Or you can follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, under Grumblings Media. And I do live stream it on YouTube and Rumble, as well as X, so you can catch it live Friday. Anyway, so a ruling favoring state bans could dismantle inclusive policies like UPenn's past support for Leah Thomas, while a reversal could reinforce federal equity standards affecting millions. That's confusing. So we're going to have to see how this plays out. I'll give you an update. But the public sentiment is simple. Growing support for fairness, as echoed with Riley Gaines' advocacy, and that clashes with faux inclusion. Boys do not belong in girls' sports, but they're saying that's inclusion. Screw you, it's not. Yeah, and the ACLU, what happened to the ACLU? They are one of the worst, most disgusting groups around, period. Bigots, racist bigots. Over there. Yeah, take me to court. That'll be easy to prove. All right. Let's talk Vibe Check. A ratings flop. Vibe Check is Disney Plus's new show with women hosts talking sports. It's an ESPN Plus production. And it was launched June 30th last week, and it's crashed. 3.6 IMDb rating out of 10. From over 20,000 reviews, 57% Rotten Tomato audience score. Social media cites it as preachy. It's a lack of sports focus. It's more indoctrination, political messaging. You know, so there's no ratings outside of these type of reports we have. But obviously, it's not being received well. Hosts Ellie Duncan, Monica McNutt, and others have sparked outrage, polarizing remarks. You know, one praised Leah Thomas and the others baselessly label Caitlin Clark fans as racist. And it's driving a viewer backlash because they know none of that is true. Monica McNutt, in my opinion, is as blatant or racist as any grand wizard from the 60s KKK. She's a black and is a black racist. Racism comes in every color. I'm Latino. I've had issues with my Latino brethren who get mad at me that I'm not falling in line and being a racist like some of them. The white supremacy gene, please stop it. Yeah, so it's an all-female show trying to, I guess, pick girls up. Not literally, but indoctrinationally. they have provocative commentary. Again, you know, Leah Thomas is a star. McNutt imply that the WNBA should be queer and black. I mean, you don't want your kids listening to that garbage. That's a parent's job to raise their kids and educate them. These women have bigoted views, and they want to push you into a certain direction. Social media, some call it cringe and out of touch. It's a woke mess. So the 3.6 and 57 IMDb score and 57% Rotten Tomatoes audience, that reflects widespread viewer rejection. Again, social media has slammed the show as lecturing and not a lot of sports. Now, The Mandalorian has an 8.7 over 10, but Vibe Check, well, that's a different show, completely different audience. Disney Plus is only 45% women. Then you have Woke, and it's a family show. This is why this show's going to fail. And there's an absence of the Metacritic scores or even Disney Plus viewership data. They're not giving it out. There is no fairness debate in women's sports. Again, praising Leah Thomas. That's not fairness. Let's talk about that. No, they just praise her. No evidence calling Caitlin Clark fans as racist. This is the host what they've said in the past. Not on Vibe Check. They probably told to be kept in check. Got to be subliminal. But they bring an obvious woke agenda. It's a brand misalignment. I mean, Disney Plus, family-oriented slate, bring a bunch of woke women. Hell, they're not even good-looking. I'm sorry. As a man and a marketer, I know beautiful women sell. It's like, at least, yeah. And social media feedback supports what I'm saying. But more importantly, social media feedback is saying they're not authentic. There's no sports talk, just cultural rot takes. Whoever thought this would be a hit should be fired. All right, let's move on. Turf troubles. Dodgers slam for DEI discrimination. I talked about this in my Fired Up California podcast. Check that out again at grumbliesmedia.com where I talk all things California. So, the EEOC complaint filed. So on June 30th, about a week ago, America First Legal, that's led by Stephen Miller, the great Trump Anglo, I guess, who they call racist because he speaks legal truths and you can't beat him in a debate, so they hate him even worse. His group filed an EEOC complaint that alleges the LA Dodgers and Guggenheim Partners DEI practices violate Title VII. And it violates it by discriminating based on race, color, and sex. And it prioritizes immutable traits over merit. In essence, gender and skin color. Meaning they're going to hire you if you're black or brown or a woman before they're going to hire a male or a white person. That's what it boils down to. And why do they say that? Well, it says on their website that's what they're going to do. Guggenheim's Women's Innovation and Inclusion Network. Then there's a team's $1 million pledge to aid illegal aliens. Or I assume it's illegal aliens. They say immigrant families, but what they've been talking about a lot is protecting the illegal aliens because of the ICE raids. So AFL's action does align with Trump and 80 million people who voted for these deportations. Now, MLB's gone through this issue and lost already, and they put a lot of diversity stuff down. So I'm pretty sure we do know how this is going to go. Ooh, I'm going to sneeze. So, the filing highlights tensions between progressive DEI policies, as always, and federal law. Excuse me. Now, the Dodgers get tax breaks, so I believe that should be investigated. The tax breaks are probably county and state type of breaks. But the county and state is subsidized with federal tax dollars. So an investigation should be done and all our tax dollars should be pooled, even if it's not directly given to them. So, for example, if they have a budget of $10 million, just toss $10 million out there, and there's no federal funds and they only give them, say, $2 million tax break versus the full $10 million. But if they get federally funded and get an extra $10 million, the $7 million that they have to use for another program, they can use that federal funded program to replace that money. Thus, it could give them theoretically a $10 million break. So in that sense, federal money could subsidize it because the money they would use at a different program, now the federal money could be used for that, and the tax break dollars would be given to the Dodgers to give them a bigger break. Now, I just use rudimentary dollars that make no sense because that's not how it would work, but just to showcase to you what I'm talking about. You know, so you're not getting a $10 million tax break because we can't afford to give you $10 million because we've got to use that $10 million on this program. What? We just got an extra $10 million federally subsidized tax dollars? Okay, we're going to use that $10 million on that program and you're going to get your $10 million tax break. So if that's happening, cut it off. And I think they should do that. Why? Hate is hate. Whether you agree or not, racism is clearly defined by their actions of discriminating in favor of gender and color. If they sat there and said, we have a program to only hire men and whitey, I would be screaming the same thing. You can't do that. That's racism. And I'm Latino. Obviously, I don't have the traditional brown color like my wonderful cousins do. My aunt, I always say this just to reflect the fact that us Latinos come in every color within a single family. My grandmother was called the N-word. I have Asian family members, Chinese, Japanese, gay, straight. It's all the Del Pilar, Dominguez clan. We got it all, baby. And we're proud of that. We are proud of that. So supporters like Pico, California's Jared Rivera, he defends DEI because he's a bigot and a racist, in my opinion. You defend that, that's what you are. And he defends it, and he's okay with it because of historical inequities. I don't care what happened 100 years ago. I want the most qualified person hired, period, end of story. And I don't care that it's a 40% Latino fan base, because I'll tell you what, Latinos, whitey, blacky, Asian-y, nobody cares what the team's makeup is or what the front office makeup is as long as they win. Blacks will love a white star as much as whites will love a black star because they want to win. It's all about winning. It's a meritocracy. So stuff it with that nonsense. And to make it worse, the Dodgers are lying too. They're creating a perception to show they're against ICE. They falsely claimed that they denied ICE access to a Dodger Stadium parking lot. ICE and DHS said there was no such request made for us to be allowed to enter. There was a CBP vehicle that was just briefly present due to a car malfunction. And they got what they wanted. You know, Pico, California. Oh! That's what they were doing. Big old Dodger schlong. Why? Because they're going to get money from the Dodgers in some form of grant or working partnership with them. That's how the grift works. But they support it, but it was a lie. They probably knew it was a lie. So this DEI complaint is also partly a response to that type of deceptive activist posturing. Policies like what the Dodgers are doing, it's just straight up racism and bigotry. You know it, I know it, they know it, and it must stop. We must come together as Americans. Instead, they would drive us apart to enrich themselves and to gain more power, politically speaking. Maybe not the Dodgers, but the forces working with the Dodgers, the political groups, the Democrats. And the Dodgers, they're not dumb. Oh, hell, it's a blue state. Boss, owner boss, you got to get on your knees for that politician coming down. Oh, yeah. Hey. Here's a towel to wipe the semen off afterwards. But yeah, you got to get on your knees for them or we won't get that tax break. I'm sorry. I sound crude, but that's how it works. All right. Let's close it out with pitcher in peril. MLB probes the Guardians' Luis Ortiz for bizarre gambling, for bizarre pitches. So a few days ago, Major League Baseball launched an investigation and they put Cleveland Guardians pitcher Luis Ortiz Jr. on the non-disciplinary paid leave through the All-Star break. And they're investigating alleged gambling-related rule violations tied to two bizarre wild pitches in June's starts. And the suspicious pitches were flagged, in essence, because betting experts at IC360 noticed odd bets on Ortiz's first pitches in games against Seattle June 15th and St. Louis June 27th. People were betting heavily on whether he'd throw balls or hit batters. And that seemed kind of fishy because that's not something that's going to have a high percentage. And it sparked worries he might be rigging those bets. And they're proving Ortiz faces severe penalties, potentially a lifetime ban. That just happened to San Diego Padres to Chucupita Marcano. 2024 for betting on baseball. So the Guardians are in a 10-game losing streak. They're trailing in the AL Central by the Tigers by 13.5 games. And Ortiz is one of their starters, and now he's sidelined. Can you believe that? Oh my goodness. So they were cartoonish. That's what caught my eye. Somebody said, hey, these pictures look like something out of a cartoon. And it looked damning on video. But context matters. Ortiz has had control struggles. So it's not new. So it may not be as bad as it looks. But the MLB has zero tolerance stats on gambling. And that means even a coincidental oddity could torch his career. So Cleveland's president of baseball operations, Chris Antonetti, said that the team can contact Ortiz, but he's barred from the facilities during this probe. And the Guardians recalled Joey Cantillo from AAA to replace Ortiz with his scheduled start. And manager Stephen Vogt, he addressed the players. Say, hey, boys, we got to cooperate with MLB, but let's refocus on this season, despite the fact we're 40-44 and we're fading. So the problem with this is Ortiz's absence guts an already shaky rotation. Not that Ortiz was special, but it's shaky. Shane Bieber is still a month from returning from post-Tommy John surgery. So it's a team spiraling. And if I'm Shane Bieber with a guaranteed contract, I'm not coming back at a team that's spiraling. I'll make sure I'm fully healthy for next year. So there is a growing shadow of gambling in baseball. You know, they have partnerships with in-stadium betting to amplify scrutiny on players. Look, we haven't even started with the gambling of players. This is probably happening on so many levels, and players are on the down low playing it cool. But there's probably a lot of gambling and players already involved in it illegally. Yeah, I mean, his translator. Shohei Ohtani's translators, his illegal gambling. It wasn't him, the player himself, but it's around them. And Ortiz's case focused on micro bets. And MLB may have to rethink their policies. Look, I think gambling may take a step back and become illegal again. I don't know, but it all depends. So why all this matter? You know, those bizarre pitches may not just be wild throws. What they've done is they've become a lightning rod for baseball gambling crisis. Basketball with Tim Donaghy some years back. It's a season derailing blow for the Guardians, for fans. It's a trust-shattering saga for the faithful fans who do follow it. So we'll find out how it goes. And there you have it, my friend. That was the final whistle for this week's Points on the Board. From MLB gambling probes to Disney's woke fumble, I think I've covered some of the bigger moves in sports and culture. That's where I go. I don't talk pure play sports. I talk sports and the culture around it, and that deals a lot with politics. And you need to listen to it because it's how it shapes our world, and especially if you have kids. And with that, let me segue with don't forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. I'm going to give you my pitch here. Fired Up. Fired Up California, my two political podcasts. Then there's the Red, White, and Rude, my cultural podcast with the undertones of how it affects our country, as I do with Points on the Board. You can find those at grumblingsmedia.com, but you can also find them on the following platforms, and you can follow us on those platforms as well, YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify, under the handle Grumblings Media. So, my friends, stay locked in. Keep the scores close. And fight for what's right in the game of life. Until next time, I am William Del Pilar, your conservative Latino for the Points on the Board podcast.